not that anybody, I think, would have a havamina, but I'm not here to give the Israeli government any advice. Because, as we'll see, the specifics of each case are really very different in terms of pidyon shvuyim and hostage situations, and there are many, many, many different factors. So if anybody had such a havamina, that's not going to happen. The second thing that I want to emphasize, this also we say at home all the time, is that not every problem has a perfect solution. And every possible solution, as we'll see in these cases, and Chazal talk a lot about this, every possible solution, unfortunately, raises other problems. So sometimes in life, we just can't have a perfect solution. It's not, we want that as people. We always want that. We also always want a perfect solution. But there is no perfect solution in these kinds of cases. So what you're doing is you're choosing the what you think, what seems to you the best possible approach. And we'll see that Chazal were very, very, very aware of that. I just wanted to finish this thought by saying we're going to do a halakhic analysis. It'll be a shir like other shirim, but I don't want anybody chas v'shalom to think that there's anything normal about this kind of, you know, I'm not going to be sitting here crying, but I don't want people to think that, if you've seen the pictures of 9-month-olds and 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds who are taken hostage by Hamas, I don't think there's a, you know, if you have a heart, obviously your heart is, you know, torn out right now, so we're going to do the halakhic analysis properly, but none of this is, God forbid, meant to be unfeeling in any way whatsoever to people who are literally in Gehenna right now. I don't just mean the captives, but their family members. If you were the father of a 9-month-old or a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, unfortunately there are many such people who are being held by Hamas. There's no words to describe what that experience is for a minute, let alone for a week, let alone for multiple weeks, let alone contemplating that, you know, so it's beyond words, but we're going to try to analyze the halachos properly, again without giving any advice, but just to show what the factors are. Everything feels very new to us, but one of the most important aspects of Limud HaTorah is that you start realizing that this is not new. Okay, and especially when it comes to Pidyon Shvuyim, Klal Yisrael has dealt with this issue literally since the beginning, since Parshas Lech Lecha, since Vayishma Avram Ki Nishba Achiv. And as we know, everybody here is aware that Avram undertook a daring military operation. This was before Entebbe, I promise you, many years before Entebbe, to rescue the hostage, and in this case, the hostages, even though he went after Lot. There were other hostages that Avram rescued, right? Es HaNashim Ves HaAm. It says that he rescued everybody, even though he didn't have any personal loyalty to those beyond Lot. So the idea of, you know, undertaking a daring military operation wasn't invented on July 4th, 1976, as impressive as that was, not to take anything away, but Avram Avinu did it first, okay? So it's as old as Yiddishkeit itself, the problem of how you deal with Pidyon Shvuyim and having to take great risks in the context of Pidyon Shvuyim and the idea of being willing to be Moser Nefesh. There's nothing new about that. And there's an entire halachic literature surrounding this issue. So let me begin with a passage in the Rambam, which leads us to a shach, and then a comment of the Minchas Chinuch, which I think is a very good way for us to start the Minchas Chinuch share. Then we'll hopefully see, you know, some of the fundamentals. So the Rambam is dealing with a particular case. This is in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Gimel, says the Rambam the following. So the Rambam says, Mishamachar Atzmo Ubanav La'akum. So a person who was in financial distress, right? And so they sell themselves to an idolater or their children. Oshalava mehen, or he borrowed money for them. He wasn't able to pay it back. Vishavu osan, or asru belva son. And, when payment day comes, he doesn't have it, so they take him captive. This is a psukim in, it's going to be next week's Haftorah, in Melachim Beis, the Isha Achas, you all remember, Mibnei HaNevi'im, who comes to Elisha and says, they're about to take my kids, you know, into captivity because I can't pay back the loan. These things happen all the time. So, Pam Rishon Oshniya Mitzvah Lifto, son. So the Rambam says, the first time or the second time it happens, there's a mitzvah of Pidyon Shlishis, Ein Podino, son. Sounds a little bit strange, right? So the third time, you know, you wouldn't redeem Osan. It sounds like the plural. The Rambam will explain in just a moment that it doesn't actually mean everybody. But what would the concern here be? What's that? Yeah, right. So we don't want to create a situation where the community becomes beholden, you know, the financial pressures that it puts on the community. This person is putting themselves in a situation and then expecting, you know, the community to bail them out in different ways, you know, so we shouldn't be taking these loans to begin with. Again, this is, you know, it sounds very harsh, but you have a person here who obviously was in, you know, financial distress, but it's not fair to the community. So Shlisha Sein Podinos Hanavol, Podinos Abonim La'achar Misa Sabiyan. But given the fact that the children aren't to blame, so if the father would, you know, would die, you wouldn't, there's no way that we would be incentivizing him anymore to engage in this behavior, which is, you know, really putting the community in a very tough spot. So we would get the kids out. So you already see in this Rambam so much nuance, right? First and second time versus the third time. The father versus the kids, right? It's not like a one-size-fits-all. There are just so many distinctions that have to be drawn. But if there's at any point, you know, in Pikuach Nefesh, Poden Oso Miyadam Afilo Achar Kamet Pamim. But the Rambam says, in Indian of Pikuach Nefesh, even though this guy, you know, was behaving very irresponsibly and in some ways asocially, we're going to go in there 100 times to redeem him, you know, or the kids, right? Because that's an Indian of Pikuach Nefesh. So the Shach, commenting on this, you know, in Yoredaya, Rishon Beis, so Aval Podenes Abanim, Shal Yitamuk Zunibin Ovdei Kochavim, Mechai Avu, and Laka Lemechesh Lahachi, Deminter Lahon Avuon. So the Shach points out, again, based on the sugya, that, you know, what's the idea of, you know, if the father dies, then we go in to get the sons. So the way that we explained it is the idea of incentivization. The Shach says, well, the father would prevent real assimilation here. We don't want the children to turn into Ovdei Avodah Zarah, right? The young children, you know, they're raised, you know, in a convent, they're raised wherever they're raised, so they become Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So the Shach says, because the father can protect them from that. So what does that assume? That the father still has some capacity to protect them if they're all taken into captivity together. Now, you could already see, I don't even have to finish the sentence, you know, in a situation like the one that we're dealing with now, right? So none of that would seem to apply. And I'm not just talking about the Piyuach Nefesh, but we have no insight into whether the children have any parental protection. Even if you have, as you do have, whole families that were taken together, right? So that doesn't give us any sense of guarantee, in which case there would be no distinction between the Avos, you know, and the banim in this regard. Okay, so Rashi is kind of Masha Shavianu Iman Bishavia Val Kol Shiefshar Shiyishmar Osan Podin Osan Miyan. So the Shach draws the conclusion, the obvious conclusion, that you know, where the parents aren't able to provide meaningful spiritual or physical protection for the children, of course we would go in there to get them right away. So again, you know, in terms of translating these things, these perspectives are all very valuable. Now the Minchas Chinuch commenting on this halach on the Rambam says the following: Mashkaz of Rambam the mitzvah alcher b'nei b'toras pidyon shvuyim kimavur begitten. He quotes the Kesef Mishnah, etc. V'daf b'shtei pamim al pam shlishi and podino sanayin sham v'nira. In his opinion, d'le'inin krovim in chiluk dafilu kama pamim podim v'adikovim the krovim haynu akrovim yoser. Fine. So the Minchas Chinuch says, in his opinion, there's another factor here. It's not just a distinction between the father and the children, or between the first 2 times and the third time. It's who's the one who's doing the redemption. If it's Krovim, if it's immediate relatives, they can do whatever they want. They're not bound by this rule of up to the third time, because it's your relatives. So it's true, it may not be the best thing for the tzibur, you know, because it's put. But if the, you know, Krovim want to get in there and, you know, redeem out their brothers, fathers, children, whatever it is, so they're allowed to do this. And this isn't just limited to nuclear family, but to extended family. So a lot of the things that we've seen, not just in the current situation, but a lot of the things that we've seen in previous situations as well, where the family is having one response and maybe others are having a different response, we're not the first people to think about this, okay? It's very understandable that the family's position may be different than the government's position, or than the army's position, than Klal Yisrael's, but whatever it is, you know, we have to be sensitive to the fact that the family may have a different set of shikulim, and that's like a very normal thing, and it's reflected here in the halacha. Yeah, Yehuda.
What is that? Eight children of son, they're not permitted to. It's not that they're not required to.
Right. So the Minchas Chinuch says there's no restriction on. Shlishis ein podin osan. Right. So that's the Rambam saying that you couldn't do it. You're not allowed to do it. No, but the Minchas Chinuch is saying that doesn't apply to the Krovim.
Right. So we have three different categories: whether you're required to, whether you're permitted to, and whether.
Correct. So the Minchas Chinuch said you can't ban relatives from wanting to do this. Right. We'll see where this comes from. This actually can emerge naturally from the Gemara. So what I just wanted to show here to begin with is how complicated this is. Is the first time, you know, is there an issue of pikuach nefesh? Is there an issue of spiritual pikuach nefesh? You know, the father versus the sons, whose fault is this really? Who created this situation? Relatives versus non-relatives. So again, everything that we think about today, Chazal and the Chachmei HaMasorah confronted as well. These aren't simple things. There's just so many factors. Danny, I think you were next. Yeah.
From a definition point of view, Pidyon Shvuyim. I always thought Pidyon Shvuyim was you captured somebody and they want $1 million for you to get it back. But not in a military sense where you're going to go in and physically take them out. Is there a difference?
Yeah, so the Mishnah says that the term applies to both. There may very well be a difference in terms of what we have to do, but let's say the mitzvah comes from Avraham Avinu, and in the original case, Lot, it doesn't sound like, you know, they were having any kind of financial negotiation up front. It's just Avram heard about it and he went into, you know, military mode. So the term really applies to both. But of course, you know, but part of what the Rambam is getting at here, when the Rambam says, but there's an Indian of Pikuach Nefesh, meaning that maybe money isn't going to help the situation. Maybe it's not just saying, okay, you know, whatever it is, you know, $1 million is going to solve the problem. Maybe not. You know, maybe that's not always going to be the case. So then, you know, all bets would be off, even the 2 versus 3 rule, not just for the relatives. Yeah. I thought I saw a question here. No? Okay. Not Herb? Okay. So the Rambam comments in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim that we have sort of a greater attachment, a greater care with the mitzvah of tzedakah than all mitzvahs of the Torah because of its special relationship to Avraham Avinu. Okay, this is important. So we're just going to go to the 5th source in the interest of time. V'chayavin anu lizar mitzvah tzedakah yosher mikol mitzvah saseh she'at tzedakah simon letzadik zer Avraham Avinu she'nemar ki yedativ manas re'etzaves banaves beso acharav lasot tzedakah mishpat. Fine. And then the Rambam goes on from there about what it means to be responsible for our fellow Jews. And, you know, he talks about, just going to quote one more line, V'chol Yisrael v'anil v'aleim ke'achim heim. We're brothers. Shenam rabbanim atam l'shem v'lkechem, v'im lo yirachim ha'ach ala'ach mi yirachim alav. And l'mi aniyei Yisrael, nos neneihem, if somebody is really in a bad way financially, who are they looking to? Hala'akum, to the idolaters, shesonin osan v'rod v'machareim. Do you think the Goyim are going to help? They're going to look to a fellow Jew to solve their problems. Okay, so that's when it comes to tzedakah in general. Now, 2 prakim earlier in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, the Rambam says what's true of tzedakah in general is true of the highest level of tzedakah. What's the highest level of tzedakah? Normally, we say getting somebody a job or giving them an interest-free loan. There's something higher than that. It's called pidyon shvuyim. We hope that people are not, you know, in that situation. But the Rambam says the following. This is the 6th source. Pidyon shvuyim. It's the greatest mitzvah in Yiddishkeit. This is literally, you know, when this first happened, my daughter is in 3rd grade, was asking me about it, like, you know, all kids in the world, and I was telling her about this Rambam, that it's the highest mitzvah that we have. The Rambam says, I showed her this line, it's like, you know, the highest Jewish value. Even Jews who are totally disconnected from, you know, formal Jewish learning, there's something, I don't know, I've always found this to be true, in the Jewish soul about, you know, that we can't leave a fellow, you know, Jew behind. Okay, Sheshavoy. What's that? Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Sheshavoy harehu, that's the whole idea. Bichlal harehvim v'atzmeim v'arumim v'omed b'sakanas nefashos. The situation of pidyon shvuyim is, by definition, a situation of sakanas nefashos. So what do you do with the Rambam that we started with? Obviously, as the Nosei Kelim point out, it's different if it starts out as a financial arrangement. There, sort of by default, we assume that the guy, if you can, you know, get him the money, it's going to solve the situation. But, you know, in a regular case of Pidyon Shvuyim, where it didn't start out with a loan that went bad, you know, or whatever it is, so that's assumed to be a case of Pikuach Nefesh. And like all cases of Pikuach Nefesh, Yehuda, this is what you were intuiting, you know, so it's Doches Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Rambam says, person who's malin einayim. What does it mean, malin einayim? Malin einayim means to be callously, you know, disregarding. It doesn't mean to maybe make a calculated decision that we can't do this. That's not malamenav. But a person who says, I don't care, you know, that we have other priorities, you know, in a callous way, violates some of the worst, you know, lavin in the Torah. Okay, that's the same lashon that the Rambam uses in Hilchos Matnos Anim in Perek Yud. And he says, Hamalim Einav Minat Tzedakah is basically guilty of Avodah Zarah. It's, you know, called Belial. So a person who's, you know, callous to the situation, which, you know, it's hard to understand how anybody could be, but when a person was, you know, they're violating all these lavin. And not only that, but you violate many mitzvahs asay as well. Bitel mitzvahs, pasach titach, mitzvahs v'chei achicha, v'hafilarecha kamocha, v'hatzol l'kuchim l'maves, v'harbe dvarim keilu. And then the Rambam again says, "Ve'en lecha mitzvah rabba kepidyon shvuyim." So I don't think you could have a greater endorsement of the chashivas of pidyon shvuyim. And we're not just talking about, you know, if there are multiple getting all of them, but even one, right? It's, you know, kol mekayim nefesh achas kilu kiyem olam malei. So the Rambam then says the halacha, an amazing psak, really. So anshei ha'ir shegavu maos lebinin beis haknes says ubalehem dvar mitzvah motzin bo maos kanu avanim vekoros. So let's say, you know, the community.
Based on what Danny said before, so
pidyon shvuyim
is only with
money. No.
Pidyon
shvuyim, we should assume, applies to any way of getting the shavuot back. Okay?
Even not money.
We'll see in just a moment that that Chazal used when we get to the Mishnah, we'll see it used in both cases. So let's say you have a building campaign. So the people in the city, it's not just that they've collected the money, but they've bought the materials for a shul. You're not allowed to sell those materials, even for something very important that comes up, except pidyon shvuyim. So avo pishevu es avanim ugidarim vesakoros v'psalim v'skinu akol lebinyan mochren akol lepidyon shvuyim bilvad. This is the only thing that you're allowed to divert the funds for. So the Rambam says that pidyon shvuyim nafkamina stands out from every other mitzvah in the Torah. Now, what's interesting about this point is that given the Rambam's perspective, which is that unless it started out as like a loan gone bad, right, in which case we have to wait for it to be proven as sakana safasha, so we assume that pidyon shvuyim is really a din pikuach nefesh, and that it implicates a lav and multiple lav and of lo samad al dam reacha. So now we come to a really interesting, you know, point, which is, you know, what are the, just give me 1 second, Aaron, and then I see that, I know that's a lot of questions. I'm just going to try to get this onto the record, and then we'll pause for some questions. So
you're saying that pidyon shvuyim is a higher level than pikuach nefesh.
It's like the supreme level of pikuach
right.
Nefesh.
Pikuach nefesh is, you know, that's the top. Right. It seems that
there's
something above.
Pidyon shvuyim seems to stand out even from that. It's amazing. Okay, and so the it's part of it, but it seems like Danny's right that it's actually the Rambam says ein lecha mitzvah rabba, ein lecha mitzvah gedola. It does sound like it stands out. Maybe it is like first amongst equals. So again, let's just focus for a moment, and then I know there are questions, but I want to be able to try to move through some of the material, and then we're going to pause in really just a moment, and we'll have an opportunity to get into a lot of questions. So question is, how much money? I just want to talk about how much money for a second. So should there be any financial limit? So there is a principle in the halacha that, based on the Gemara Ksuvos, that when it comes to mitzvah saseh, there is a limit, 20%. When it comes to mitzvah lo saseh, there is no limit whatsoever. The Rama paskins this halacha in Yerodeya based on the Ran. So if part of the meaning of Bechol Modecha is if a person, like let's say, is put into a situation, somebody says, I'm going to kill you unless you eat non-kosher, something which is, you know, let's say, an Issa Daraisa, maybe even Issa Darabanan, or you could give me $1 million. So the halacha would determine that you don't have a permission structure to eat the non-kosher, that you have to give all your money rather than violate a lo saseh, literally. Okay, so here, what's the significance? We said that there are many lo saseh that are involved when it comes to refraining from pidyon shvuyim, including lo samod al dam reyacha, which would then mean that there's no intrinsic financial limit, okay? We're going to get to the takana derabanan in just a moment, but the normal halachic analysis would be that there's no, you can't say, I would do it for $20 but not $100. I would do it for $1,000 but not $10,000, because to leave somebody in such a situation, as we said before, would presumably be not just one, but many, 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 many lavin. And we say that a person would have to spend all of their money to avoid eating non-kosher. So kal v'chomer, you'd have to spend all of your money to avoid violating lo samud al dam reyecha. So before we're going to get to this Mishnah that we'll see in, you know, just after we take the questions, the normal assumption would be that you'd spend all of your money to save somebody's life. Because this is in the chametz rabbah. This isn't only pikuach nefesh. It seems it's like pikuach nefesh plus. It's some kind of an advanced category of that. Okay, lots of questions. Let's just go around. Isaac.
I'm assuming that pidyon shvuyim does not include bailing someone out of jail who's there for financial fraud. He's in jail, but he's
so that's an important question. I can't get into all the details right now, but it depends a lot on what the justice system is. So if you're dealing with a basically fair justice system, that's one thing. If you're dealing with a situation where a person is incarcerated, even because they did something wrong, but the conditions are disproportionate to what they did, it's not entirely clear that pidyon shvuyim is off the table. So if you have a person who's really, let's say they committed a financial crime, but they're in a jail where they're omed b'sakanas nefashos, yeah, I would say that pidyon shvuyim could be applicable, because I'm not condoning what they did, but the fact that they could be killed any day because, you know, unfortunately there are a lot of criminals in jail, you know, violent people in jail. So pidyon shvuyim may have some relevance there. So, you know, it's a complicated question, but I wouldn't take it out of the discussion in entirely. Yeah.
But the original concept that if you can't pay back, you're dead, you become a slave, and historically, not today. You know, but I think historically...
Right, so that's what the Rambam says, that we have to get them out. But the first time, the second time, the third time they would do this, they would sell themselves or they would take a loan from that. So then it becomes impossible. But even there, the Rambam made a distinction between the father and the sons. And even there, the Rambam said, but if it was pikuach nefesh, right, the Rambam said it, but if there was, you'd have to go in there 100 times, right? So that's the idea. Remember, that's where we started. The Minchas Chinuch said about that situation, but there's no limit for a relative. A relative can do whatever the relative wants to do. I'm going to show you where the Minchas Chinuch came up with that idea. Aaron.
Danny was mechabeng for my question.
Ah, Danny.
I have a follow-up. He's a kohen.
It's Yeshiva of Moshe Soloveitchik.
Why is the Rambam, since it is the supreme mitzvah.
Supreme mitzvah, right.
But only b'sakanas nefashos. Why does he include that term? Is it just a structural thing of categorizing, but it stands on its own even without
The Rambam is, I think, explaining why, you know, pidyon shvuyim was elevated to be the mitzvah rabba. Again, the Rambam says the mitzvah of tzedakah is the most important mitzvah saseh in the Torah. Now he wants to say, but even within the, you know, tzedakah, which is, you know, the simen of Avraham Avinu, and it's about, well, it's the essence of what being a Jew is. So he says pidyon shvuyim takes priority over that. And if you want to know why, because it's tzedakah plus pikuach nefesh. So you have pikuach nefesh and you have tzedakah, and those are two very important mitzvos. But if you have tzedakah plus pikuach nefesh, so that's like its own category. That's what the Rambam wants to say. Yes, correct. Exactly. He's explaining, you know, how you get the equation, how it adds up to ein lecha mitzvah rabba kepidyon shvuyim, because you're hitting on the two greatest Jewish values of pikuach nefesh, which applies to any doctor in a hospital, plus the mitzvah of tzedakah. And then we're going to talk about, well, what if there is no financial peace? Let's say it's just like Avraham Avinu, who does this, you know, for lot, and he doesn't pay any money. He just, you know, goes and he risks his life to get his brother out of there. Okay. So like we said, Jackie.
There are limitations, though. So even though you said that the law, there's no limitation. Moran Rutenberg showed
Okay, you're way ahead of us, Jackie. Wait. We're getting to the Maharam Rutenberg. Okay, we're getting there. You can't skip ahead here. Okay, so there's a Mishnah, the ninth source. Okay, good. So I tried to show everything so far before the Takana. Jackie's talking post Takana. Now there was a Takana. The Takana is recorded in Masechta Gittin because the series of Mishnayos and Gittin are dealing with Takanos Mishum Tikkun HaOlam. Okay, so Tikkun HaOlam is some kind of a social quality that it's necessary. Now, we don't know always understand what the Mishnah meant by Tikkun Olam, and this is one of those cases. So there are two Mishnayos in Masechta Gittin, which have to deal with the situation of Pidyon Shvuyim. So let's focus on the first one right now. So Ein Podin Es HaShvuyim, the Mishnah says, the ninth source, Yeser Al Kedei Temehen Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Even though we recognize that on a Daraisa level, there's no financial limit whatsoever to what we should be willing to spend to get somebody out of that situation of being a Shavuy, of being captive or hostage. Nonetheless, we made a limit, a rabbinic limit, Mibnei Tikkun Olam, that the rabbis told us, not only are we not going to blow shofar at Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, or take a lulav on Sukkah Shechalios B'Shabbos, or according to Rabbeinu Yonah, say Kriyashma after Chatzos, according to the Chachamim, because we want to get people onto the right schedule. The rabbis are going to tell us a much bigger chiddush. You let somebody sit in captivity, Aivei, but you do that, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, we're only willing to spend what they'd be worth on the open market. So let's say, you know, a person on the slave market would be worth $1,000. We wouldn't, you know, spend a penny more than that. Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. Now, we want to understand what's the Tikkun HaOlam here, okay? And everything, Jackie, you were just referring to is in this context. This is a later takana. This does not have to do with the Doraisa, but obviously it's a halachically binding. So we have to try to understand. So the Gemara says, Ibai Elihu. Hi, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. What does that mean? What exactly is the Tikkun HaOlam? What are we achieving through this takana? Is it Mishum Duchka Ditziburahu? Because it's putting the Tzibur in a very, very difficult situation. Meaning, if the Tzibur is going to have to come up with $1 billion, $1 trillion, right? Because Midaraisa, there's no limit. It's Hatzel Lekuchim Lamarves. So it's just impossible for the Tzibur to have to do this. And then taking into account that if you do it once, they're going to be incentivized to take two hostages the next time and three hostages the next time because it's a good business. Okay, is that the issue? Odilma mishum de lo ligribu v'lei sutvei. Or is it not really the duchka de tzibur in the immediate sense? It's only, we're limiting it to the question of the moral hazard of the incentivization of taking more captives. In other words, what we're really saying is we never want Jews to be taken captive. So because we never want Jews to be taken captive, because being taken captive is so horrible, we have to sacrifice, this is very harsh, but we're going to have to sacrifice this person, we're not going to get him out, because this will prevent future Jews from being taken captive. But we're sacrificing the person now for the potential captives down the road. This is, again, it sounds very hard. That's what the Gemara wants to know. Is it about the Duchka de Tzibura now, or is it about future Jews, okay? Is what we're saying that we're so horrified by a situation of Shevi, of people being taken into captivity, that the only way to stop this is to be, in the short term, very, very, very tough in terms of the person who, lo aleinu, finds themselves in this situation, or, frankly, the persons, right? The Mishnah doesn't say this would be limited to one individual. So the Gemara says, it's not clear what the Mishnah meant. We really want to understand this Mishnah because it's going to be a huge nafkamina. If you're talking about, you know, only the question of duchka de tzibur, if you had a very wealthy tzibur, right, so maybe none of this would apply. Or, as we saw before in the Minchas Chinuch, let's say it happens to be that, I don't know, they take hostage the child of a multi-trillionaire and there's no duchka de tzibura because they can come up with $1 trillion on their own. So, you know, it would be permissible for them. But if the issue is it's going to incentivize things down the road, maybe even that wouldn't be allowed, okay? So the Gemara says the following, Tashma, Levi bar Darga, Pirka lebrase betlesar alfei dinari zahav. This is a father who redeemed his daughter for an exorbitant amount of money. Let's call it for millions and millions and millions of dollars. So he did this, okay? So you have a father who behaved in this way. Again, it came out of his own pocket. There was no duchka de tzibura involved. But obviously, if you're, you know, looking from the other side, in the business of taking Jews hostage, you realize there's money here, okay? There's money here. There's real money here. And maybe this is the kind of thing that we should be very concerned about. So if we have this, you know, story, Levi bar Darga Pirkei LeBrasei Tleisar Al V'Dinari Zahav Zamar Abayi Uman Leimelan DeRetzon Chachamim Abad. Who said he asked? Dilma Shelo BeRetzon Chachamim Abad. Maybe the rabbis didn't approve of this. Yeah, how do you know he asked the Shaila? All you know is that he did it. So the Gemara is not conclusive. We don't know. Okay, this is part of, like I said, what makes the sugya so challenging. We don't know exactly what the nature of this takana was. We don't know whether Lady Bardaga acted within the halacha. Maybe it was against the Ratzon Chachamim. It's an Ibaya de lo Ifshita. And it makes all the difference in the world in terms of what the halacha would have to say about any situation, and certainly the incredibly complicated situation that Klal Yisrael is faced with right now. So the Rambam's Psak Halacha, again, if you're the Rambam, you're going to have to come down somewhere. Okay, so the Rambam says, Ein Podin Es HaShvuyim, this is the 10th source, B'yetzer Al Demeyen, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, that's straight from the Mishnah. So now this is where all of the marbles are. But what's the nature of the Psak Halacha? Is it a question of the moral hazard? Is it the Ducha de Tzibura? That he says, Shelo Yua Oivin Rodfim Achareihem L'Shavosam. That what's the issue for the Rambam? So that's the Rambam seems to be paskening the Chumrah, the Yibayah de lo Ifshita, and he says that maybe Shelo Beratzon Chachamim Avad, right? Because now there's going to be every incentive in the world to do this, you know, in the future. Okay, so that's the way the Rambam paskens the Gemara. Again, is it clear from the Gemara? No. But this was the Psak Halach of the Rambam. And as you can imagine, if somebody of the Rambam's stature read the Gemara this way, this had an enormous impact on the halachic history of the sugya. The fact that the Rambam drew the line there and said it was about incentive. So normally, again, and I just want to, and then I'll get to Danny in just a moment, and Jackie, we're going to get to your Maharam Rutenberg in just 2 moments. So this is an amazing, amazing idea. Generally speaking in halacha, generally speaking, in the way that we deal with situations of pikuach nefesh is essentially in Chachma Vein Tvuna Vein Eitzah. We say, there's a Mesukam Lefanecha, you deal with that. We don't start imagining contingencies beyond that. We don't start thinking what's going to happen 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You have a Jew who's in Sakana Stefasho, so everything goes off the table. What we're now saying is, could be that this Takana actually uprooted that principle, that you don't have the right to do that. That you have to think about, and this is very, like I said, this is to tear your heart out. But you have to say, it's horrible. Every day is a hell. And we have no idea what's going to be with this person. But you have to sacrifice this person for the good of the tzibur. Future people. Okay? Now that is a tough reality to swallow. But that's the way the Rambam seems to have understood the sugya.
Was
that? Abaye suggested it. We don't know how to paskin. Abaye said, "Dilma shelo beratzon chachamim avad." We don't know. It's an Ibaya de lo Ifshita. The Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what to do. Okay, so let me just get Tosos in, I know there are 3 cons. So Tosos says the following. Okay, so Tosos says again. Tosos is not beholden here to the Rambam. Okay, the Rambam paskin the chumrah. So Tosos, Lenny, we're up to the 11th source. So Tosos says the following, and this is Jackie, what you said 10 minutes ago, and I said, hold on, this is the Tosfos that you're talking about. Hazatani Perek Nara, Nishbeis Vayim Vakshim Narasar B'Demeh Apam Rishon Pote, Shaini Ishto, Dehavya Kegufo, Yoser Mibito Dehacha. The Tosfos says, there are exceptions. What would an exception be? Your wife. So even if you paskin the chumra by Levi Bar Darga, that maybe Shelo Beratzon Chachamim Avad, that he redeemed his daughter out for an exorbitant amount of money, even if you paskin that way, like the Rambam does paskin, Toso still says, when it comes to your spouse, Ishto Kigufo, and what he's really saying is that a person would have the right to do whatever they could to save themselves. In other words, so if it's a third party evaluating what should we do, if it's a government evaluating what should we do, okay, so they're going to have to take into account future potential hostages. But if it's the person themselves, they have every right to save their own lives. And what's an extension of saving your own life? Right? And even though we're all admitting that that's going to create a terrible moral hazard down the road, and it's going to incentivize them to take, you know, Jews captive, you don't have to do that for yourself. Okay? Yol atzmo lo tiknu. So Tosa says, this takana mishum tikuna olam never applied. The rabbis never said that there are limits to what you could do to save your own life. Okay? Now there is a Gemara in Masechta Gittin where the Gemara Masechta Gittin tells us that Rabbi Yoshua went to Rome, where, again, nothing is new, Jewish history. There were many, many, many Jewish children taken to captivity. And he wanted to redeem Jewish children out of captivity. It's like, you know, mamish the stories of Rav Herzog after the war, you know, going around to the Mon. So he's going around, and he identifies the future Rabbi Yishmael. He starts to recite a pasuk, and there's this kid who answers, and he redeems him for some extraordinary amount of money. Now, that wasn't Rabbi Yeshua saving his own skin. That wasn't Rabbi Yeshua saving his wife. He's redeeming a Jewish kid. So Tosus is bothered by that. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani, the Pirkei Lausinok, b'mamon harbe, for some exorbitant amount of money, lefi shahaya muflag b'chachma. Now we have a new exception, because the kid, he was right, he called it right, but the kid had potential to be an Eloi. The kid had the potential to be somebody of incredible stature. And he recognized that at a young age. And somehow that's going to override the future pikuach nefesh considerations of the tzibur. In other words, there are certain things that are so important, like, you know, having a person who's a muflag b'chachma, you know, potential to be one of the gedolei hador, will weigh that against future pikuach nefesh considerations. Oh, inami b'shas korban abayis lo shayech l'ligribu. Or, Tosha says, they were already maximally incentivized to take future hostages, so he wasn't so worried about this idea of incentivizing them because, you know, they were taking hostages every day. There was no concern. So these two deos and Tosfos, again, Tosfos doesn't tell us, you know, which one is correct. Maybe both of them, just like the Rambam had this enormous impact on the sugya by paskening the chumrah and suggesting that yes, dilma shelo beratzon chachamim avad, maybe even relatives shouldn't be allowed to do this. The Bali Atosos are saying, you know, maybe there are certain values that even though we have to acknowledge that redeeming captives is going to incentivize the future redeeming of captives, but there are certain special captives that are so important because it could be a Gadol Hador, whatever it is, Muflag B'Chachma. So that day in Tosos, I'll just tell you right now, is actually recorded in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch accepts that. Now, that's a critical idea because once you open it up to Muflag B'Chachma, you know, that seems like it's one value, so now all of a sudden you could say, in this case, Rabbi Yeshua decided. But the broader issue is even more important. The broader issue is once you say that I acknowledge that there are real pikuach considerations, we're going to, you know, down the road, but there are certain values that override those considerations, like the fact that this person could be a Gadol Hador, you know, so maybe we say something like, you know, but the solidarity of the, you know, the entire population depends on us getting this hostage out because otherwise people aren't going to send their kids to the army, v'chule, v'chule. So all of these things are reflected in the halachic literature. Every one of these arguments in every single direction. Jackie, go ahead.
So I just want to... The Torah doesn't differentiate between the tzibur and family. Whereas the Minchas Chinuch had differentiated, except by Krovin.
Yeah.
The din is different. The Gemara seems to just say, Gemara and Tosfos, you know, it goes only as far as Isho. Because otherwise, you could have, the Gemara could have answered very easily redeemed his daughter?
Levi Bar Darga, right.
Levi Bar Darga. Right. Easily differentiated, said, you know, Shami did because it was Bate, it was his daughter.
Right.
Whereas, you know, John Doe could not have done it.
Good. So the Baruch Shekibanta. So the next source I wanted to show you, and then I want to come back in just 1 second. So,
Rabbi.
Yeah, just 1 second, Professor. Just 1 second. I just want to get in because what Jackie said really relates directly to the Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon acknowledges that in the Gemara it's Nibai de lo Ifshita. We just don't know what the answer should be, but the Vilna Gaon, who had no problem taking on a Rishon, on this case either, says I reject Tosus's conclusion. He says it's true that in the Gemara and Gittin, it's Nibayat Lubshita. We don't know from Levi Bar Darga. But he says his reading, on the Pligi Biksubis, and Bezam and Alf Ishto Mashma, Mishum Delo Ligribu. So he thinks, like the Rambam did, that the conclusion of the Gemara really is that it's about sacrificing, literally sacrificing, as difficult as this is, people's lives in the short term, even though we acknowledge that it's a Sakanas Nefashos, and normally we put everything off for that kind of, you know, Ein Lecha Mitzvah Rabba Kepidyon Shvuyim, but because the concern is not the Duchka de Tibur concern, it's Yechid Eligribu Tvei, like the Rambam says, the Vilna Gaon wants to endorse that, So, you know, maybe that's going to be the overriding consideration, and maybe that's going to include things like immediate nuclear relatives, like Levi Bar Darga, Shalom Ratzon Chacham Mavad, and maybe it's not going to have carve-out exceptions for a Muflag B'Chachma. Maybe it's not going to have carve-out exceptions for saving your spouse or whatever it is. You know, so the Vilna Gaon, like the Rambam, doesn't seem to address this. Again, I just wanted to show you, the Minchas Chinuch, who wasn't nobody, right? The Minchas Chinuch says, well, you know, for the Krovim, maybe they have the right to do whatever they want. And he was willing to say that in the situation that the Rambam was talking about in Ches Yud Gimel, which is, it's a loan gone bad, but now it's a Sakanas Nefasho situation, so anybody can go in. And maybe even it's not a Sakanas Nefasho situation, the Krovim can go in. We can't stop relatives from wanting to save their family, even though, you know, maybe it's not the right thing for the Tzibor. Yeah.
Didn't we say something before, we discussed the Rambam about, paying what someone would be worth in the slave market or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, right, because that's straight from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can always pay, you know, what the person could get on, you know, the open market, because there you don't really have either problem. You don't have the dukha de tzibura, because it's not an exorbitant amount of money, it's whatever the person is just worth, and it's not some kind of a major moral hazard, because if they're only going to get what they're going to get on the open market, it's not like it creates this...
It's not an incentive.
Yeah, they say, well, I could do other things for money. It's the issue of paying, you know, $1 billion, $1 trillion. They say, there ain't no business like taking Jews hostage, right? So that's the issue that was a concern. Professor, then Aaron.
You know, with reference to Shas Korban,
yeah,
Shani, I was actually once teaching this, and I gave the sort of the standard explanation which you gave, that in Shas Korban, they don't need a...
They're maximally incentivized, yeah.
They have these, but actually a student of mine turned it around, which I rather liked.
Yeah.
That Shas Korban, where the whole Jewish community is basically being destroyed, you don't have the luxury of thinking long term. What's going to happen down the road? Because the whole existence is hanging by a thread.
Could be.
So you have to worry now about
things. Right, and I really...
Otherwise, maybe there's no one left.
I share your reaction. I like that idea very much. And even that ambiguity as to what Tosos means about Shas Churban,
right,
becomes an even, you know, greater complicating factor in terms of, right, how we're meant to translate these guidelines. So the Shulchan Aruch is pulling here from the Rambam, from the Sugyas. So this is what we have in the Shulchan Aruch. You have this in the 13th source. So the Shulchan Aruch starts out, you know, Eish Lahava, Kol Rega Shema'achar Liftos HaShvuyim, Heicha De'efshar Lahaktim, Hevi Kilu Shovichtamim. Okay, that's a very strong statement. That every second that you leave somebody unnecessarily in captivity is Shvichos Damim. You know, I can't get into the details, it's a little bit sensitive, but the Erev Shabbos after the pogrom, so October 13th, I got a call from a Talmud who's working in this very sensitive area, and asking about what otherwise would be Chilul Shabbos. The people saying before that the number keeps on going up. So the number isn't going up, it's what we know is going up. It was, these people were taken. But I don't want to get, it's a very graphic thing, but I'll just mention very quickly. The issue is the following. Because so many people were burned, both alive and dead, the level, it's very, very, very hard. It takes a very long time to make a determination when you walk into a room and there's just ashes, right? It's like, you know, lo aleinu, you go to a crematoria, okay? So you don't know how many people's ashes are there. You just don't know. It takes a long time to figure that out. That's why every second matters. I told him, not only is he allowed to, he's mechuyev to do this work on Shabbos, because they have to then calculate, okay, if they figure out that those are the ashes of 8 people and not 2 people and not 5 people, so then that's going to impact how many people they believe are taken hostage.
But the wise paskin the same thing.
Nobody could paskin differently, but it's the worst question to have to be asked. So I said to them, I quoted from this, I said, it's every rega matters. Literally every second is considered to be a world. If you know, and again, this is still relatively early on, in trying to figure out, you know, what numbers are we talking, what are the military options, what aren't the military options. So the Shulchan Aruch starts off in this direction, right? So you know, not that we're, again, to quote the famous line of Reb Chaim, it's not a kula in Shabbos, it's a chumra in pikuach nefesh. So we're going to take this very seriously and tell people to be mechalel Shabbos d'oraisa many times over, because there are many melachos d'oraisa that are involved in this work, but it's shvichas dam otherwise. Okay, so fine. Then the Shulchan Aruch, literally in the very next line, so, you know, ein poden hashuyin yoser michtei demehem. So that's the takana. That's the Mishnah. On the one hand, it's pikuach nefesh. We're not denying that. You know, you'd be mechalel Shabbos without thinking twice. But we have this limit. Now, what's the tikkun ha'olam? Remember, that was the Ibaya de Lipshita in the Gemara. The Gemara didn't answer. Is it the duchka de tzibura? Is it kiechi de l'ligra butfei? We have the psak halachana of the Rambam staring us in the face, that we're going to sacrifice people who are omed b'sakanas nefashos in front of us because we can't incentivize, you know, the down the road. So you say, "Nitikun alolam shelo yu oivim mosin atzmam aleihem l'shavosam." Where did the Shulchan Aruch get the audacity? He just quoted from the Rambam. It was the Rambam standing up and saying, "We're paskening the chumrah. Sometimes we're going to have to make the worst choice that a Jew ever has to make, which is to violate every instinct that a Jew has, which is to save a fellow Jew in trouble." Right? Vayishma Avram kinishba achiv. You know, that goes back to the very beginning. We're going to do that because we can't engage in the kind of behavior, whether it's financial, you know, or otherwise, we can't engage in the kind of behavior which is going to incentivize them to do this more down the road. Aval Adam, however, he says, the Shulchan Aruch says, even though you don't have these exceptions in that Rambam, now Tosfos comes back to life. Aval Adam yachol liftos es atzmo b'chol ma she'irtze. But a person can do whatever they want. A person's allowed to try to save his own life. So Tosfos wanted to say your wife also, because ishto kegufo. Okay, that's an interesting application. But you could try to save your own skin. The takana, according to Tosfos, never included the person themselves. So if somebody lo aleinu finds themselves in such a situation, even though all the arguments are still true, that it's very bad for Klal Yisrael to start negotiating, right? If they have some way of trying to save themselves, they're allowed to. That's the Shulchan Aruch's psak, okay? We saw that svar in Tosos. Adam yachol levdos es atzmo b'chol ma she'irtze. V'chein l'talmid chacham. We'll get to Lenny one second. Even a talmid chacham. So that's the famous issue of the Maharam Rutenberg, okay? Jackie, I told you to hold on to that for a second. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Talmud Chacham is different. Even though it could be terrible for the Tzibur, the Talmud Chacham is so valuable, whether it's an issue of Kavod HaTorah, whether it's an issue that they're helping the Tzibur so much. O afilu eino Talmud Chacham. Or it's just, you know, you can't say he's a Gadol Hador right now, just a kid right now. Talmud Charef, Efshar Shia Adam Gadol, Podim Oso, Bedamim Merubim. So you can spend whatever you want to spend. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to start on the direction of the Rambam, and then he pivots to Tosos. Lenny, go ahead.
This logic by Yochum looking at those dust of the Pomerach Yirtza always troubled me in the context of Rameyer being sent by his wife Bruria to go save her sister who had been taken by the Romans, and the questions he asked the sister to determine what had happened to her exactly from that point forward being taken. Why is that important?
Now again, that's the distinction between, you know, let's say oneself and a nuclear relative. See, Tosfos is saying,
no, I'm asking about why it mattered to him. What? If that's how she stayed alive, then why does it matter?
Oh, that's a good, but the person can, you know, you're right. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to paskin like that Agada and saying that we should care what happened in the meantime. Yeah, 100%. And there's even more evidence that, especially when it comes to a woman, that she could, karka olam, and, you know, these kinds of things. 100%.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So right now we're talking about financial trade-off. You give me X and whatever the value of the person might be. And I know, right, of course, there's halacha. Somebody says, will you give us this particular Jew as opposed to something else? But what if we have an issue, as we have here? You have 200 hostages. Or if you had 20 or whatever, do you sacrifice or risk the lives of, let's say, 200 soldiers, 300 soldiers to retrieve 200 hostages? How does that work?
Right. So again, so the whole issue here can be reduced, just to use it in the most direct way, you have people who are omdin besakanes nefashos, and we're worried about getting them out, whether it's through money or through whatever you're trading for them, because of a future sakanes nefashos, right? That's what it boils down to. Whether that's money or giving them murderers or giving them weapons or whatever situation you can conjure up. So are you allowed to look past the present sakanes nefashos for a future sakanes nefashos? That's the chiddush of the Rambam to paskin in that direction, where the Rambam says, yes, you are allowed to look past the current sakanes nefashos, whether it's one person, five people, 10 people, 200 people, Rachmana Litzlan, and to say, yeah, it's horrible, it tears our hearts out, but we have to consider the future sakanes nefashos that will be caused by paying for them, giving them weapons, giving them murderers, right? The Gemara didn't paskin. The Gemara didn't answer the question. The Gemara raised the question. The Rambam is the one who paskin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins on the base of the Rambam. However, the Shulchan Aruch creates all this ambiguity by then rehabilitating the kulas of Tosfos, so to speak. But if it's a person themselves, and if it's their wife, and maybe if it's the Gadol Hador, and maybe if it's somebody who might one day be the Gadol Hador, and then everybody starts to wonder, of course, well, what do you mean, you know, that this person might be the Gadol Hador? So we're going to risk, you know, future Jews, you know, because this one over here could be corrupt. That means that there are some values that override that. So some people, again, have tried to make the argument, well, if that's true, that, you know, the future Talmud Chacham is worth, you know, endangering future Jews. So that then means that there are certain values that might trump. Like if you said, well, you know, it's a sakanas nefashos consideration because we don't want more Jews to be taking hostage. But if nobody goes to Tzahal, it'll be a sakanas nefashos consideration, and nobody's going to want to go to Tzahal unless they get their kids out. So those are the dilemmas that come from this. What I want to try to show is, like I said at the beginning, is not Chalila to try to tell the Israeli government what to do, because that's certainly nothing I would consider. My goal is to show how complicated it is, and how sometimes the Krovim, that was the Minchas Chinas point, the Krovim have to be treated differently than other people. The Pam Rishon versus Sheni is different than the third time. Sakanas Nefashos is different than a situation, you know, where you can reasonably assume that it's not a Sakanas Nefashos. If the parents are with the children, it's different than if the children are separated, like the shock that we saw at the beginning. So there are so many different factors that have to be taken into account. There's no way of coming up with a perfect solution. I think the biggest chiddush in the sugya, and then I want to give Danny the last word, is the idea that you're allowed to move past the sakana in front of you to take into account the broader sakana. That was the step that the Rambam took. The Vilna Gaon affirmed that. It's nifsak lahalacha and Shulchan Aruch. So somebody, you know, who said it to me with deep feeling, and I can't empathize enough, said, if somebody's omed b'pikuach nefesh, pikuach nefesh is doches kol haTorah kula, how are you allowed to look past that? And I explained, that is the whole chiddush of the sugya. That the Rambam paskins, you are allowed to look past a chola mesukan, you know, they could be the worst possible situation, they're old, they're not going to make it, any of these things, if the concern is that it's going to endanger people right now who are totally safe and totally healthy. But yes, that is the chiddush. It's at a much lower level, reminiscent of a famous psak of Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman passed in a totally different area of halacha, but I just want to show you the svara, the psak that Reb Lichtenstein Zatzal liked a lot, and you know, we've relied on as well. And the issue in the area of lifnei iver. Okay, people may know about this if they have, you know, relatives who aren't from and the like. So, you know, question of inviting somebody over on Shabbos seems like a trivial question compared to the issues we're dealing with. But so you have to offer the person, everybody agrees, a place to stay for Shabbos. But you know, and I know that they would be willing to come for lunch, but you know, they're not interested in coming for the weekend. So Shlomo Zalman was at, you know, person's going to get in their car now. Now it's true, you know, they may have gone to the country club otherwise, they may have gone to the movies, they may have gone to the ball game, but you're in some level connected to the fact that they're performing a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos, you know, yantif, whatever it is. And Rav Shlomo Zalman very famously said that the inyan of lifnei iver has to be evaluated over the long term. That it's true that if you only take a microscopic view of what's happening over the next you know, week, so this is something which may not be good for them spiritually. But you can't say that you're over Lifnei Iver, because it's very clear that what you're trying to do is try to keep a kesher with them. You want to show their kids that, you know, from people are good people, are, and they should have a warm feeling towards Yiddishkeit. Maybe they'll marry Jews one day and the like. You know, so he said that he thought that was a legitimate perspective to take. Again, not everybody agrees to that. It's a very controversial psak, because it requires looking past what seems like an obvious situation of lefanecha for broader considerations. What the Rambam is doing here is basically the same. The Rambam is saying, there's pikuach nefesh staring you in the face. And normally pikuach nefesh is dochas kol Torah kula. But you have to take the broader view. What is the broader pikuach nefesh situation? Now, again, Tosfos says, there may be exceptions to that. Maybe the person themselves isn't mechuyav to think past this moment. Maybe if it's your spouse. Okay, maybe if the person's a Talmud Chacham, or it could be a Talmud Chacham. There are all kinds of exceptions to this, but what I want to orient people towards is that for those who take that view, and I'm not giving any advice, nobody should say it's coming from cruelty. The real point of the Rambam is that to be a Rachaman in these situations requires making very, very, very painful choices. So I just wanted to conclude my remarks before I give Danny the last word is, I've said this many times in the Kehillah, I'll repeat it here. It may take an ace, but I'm davening for an ace. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachol. I don't have an easy solution here, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us and should help every one of the Shvuyim and should help Klal Yisrael and somehow get us out of a very tough situation. Because whatever you hold in the Sugya, you are allowed to daven for a miracle here. Can't rely on it. You have to daven for a miracle, and we have to daven for these people. We have to daven for their families. You know, our hearts are. It's, you know, we have to daven. The Kaddish Baruch Hu should figure out solutions that we don't have. Yeah, Danny, let me just give you the last word.